We thank you for today, God. As always, Lord, you've given us life, Lord. You've given us eternal life. You've given us breath today, Lord. Your word tells us that, Lord, because of the breath that you've given to us, we're to praise you and we're to worship you. We're to offer up, Lord, the praises of our lips to you, Lord. Over and over, continually, are we to praise you, God. And there is so much to be thankful for, Lord, to have gratitude for. And, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness in our lives, Lord. We thank you that you're patient with us, Lord. We thank you that you have a special plan for us, Lord. And Lord, that we don't have to be worried or swayed by life situations, but can simply just trust in you. And so, Lord, I pray that as we open up your word this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would give us a fresh application from your word, Lord. God, I pray that you would reassure us of the love that you have for us, the care and the concern, Lord, you're shepherding over our lives. God, I pray that this would be, Lord, as much of a comfort to us today as it is a challenge to us. And so, Lord, Lord, use Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 9 to minister to our hearts. Lord, as always, we want to include the body of Christ here, Lord. We want to lift up the children and the youth and those that are serving there and just pray that there would be an anointing upon their time as well. Lord, from the oldest to the youngest, Lord, may you minister and may we sense your spirit. So, God, thank you again for the blessing of coming into your house to be with your people, to study your word, to worship you, Lord. And we pray that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 10 through 12 talks about the future. And this is really Daniel's fourth vision. God's been speaking to him, giving him three other visions. We're now coming to the very end. There's some things that we're going to talk about in chapter 10 is about persistent prayer. We need to be persistent in prayer. But as we take these first nine verses, I was thinking and asking the Lord, what is it that you really want me to come up with? How is it that I can introduce you to this? Let me take a step back and tell you that it was the end of 2017, and the Lord said, I've got a word for you, Robert. It's overhaul. And the Lord just impressed that upon my heart. We need to overhaul things. We need to overhaul things. We need to overhaul things. And there was nothing that was free or closed off, rather, from the Lord doing an overhaul. And if you were here during that time, you remember that. I shared the word that the Lord had given to me, and I've seen it come up. I feel like I have tried very hard to accommodate that vision that the Lord had given to us. And usually when it comes to about August, September time, the Lord begins speaking to my heart again. And so for the next year, for 2020. And so I'm already thinking like, well, do we have a New Year's night? Do we have a special study bringing in the new year? What is exactly do you want me to do, Lord? And do you have a new word for me? Do you have a new word for the congregation? And the Lord said, I'm not done overhauling. I'm still at work. And the problem with that, you see, is an overhaul is a repair. And it's painful. And I use the example of when you overhaul a transmission, you take it apart and you break it down and you inspect the parts. And then the things that are broken, the things that need to be replaced or the things that need to be repaired are then manipulated and twisted and angled and changed. And so I said, as exciting as an overhaul is, it's very, very painful. And I thought, you know, Lord, it's been an interesting couple of years. And I'll just kind of lay this in. Hopefully it'll lay very delicately upon the passage that we're looking at this morning, is that the Lord just reveals things that need to be overhauled. And it's painful. And the last year and a half, the Lord has revealed things to a place where, and this week has been, actually last month has been something where the Lord has just said, I'm still at work, Robert. I'm still not done here. You still need to be overhauled. And Robert, you're going to need to be overhauled forever, but we're not done in this season right now with you. And we're not done in the season with the church. And I'll just, without getting into specifics, the last year has been excruciating for me. Excruciating in the sense that where I would like to think that I'm a pretty tough guy, some of my vulnerabilities have been laid out. And honestly, like, normally I'll just be honest with you guys, sometimes I can just muscle through that. And then there's other times where there's such an exposure to vulnerabilities that I just retreat. And again, I'd like to stand up here and tell you guys I'm perfect, and you can trust me and you can follow me. And it's a humbling thing to do that. I would rather speak from the heart. And so this has been just a real trying year in a lot of different areas. And the Lord is not done overhauling. But the benefit of this is that things are better at the end, at the tail end of this. And so we have to be open to that, to what God would want us to do. What does he want us to do? In these verses, here's the delicate presentation. In these verses 1-9, we're going to see this man, Daniel, who was a man who loved the Lord dearly, was very devoted and very dedicated to the Lord. And the Lord brought him to places where it was very uncomfortable for him. Listen, how many, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you hate being uncomfortable? How many of you hate feeling vulnerable? How many of you hate being exposed? How many of you hate seeing the overhaul that is needed in your life? I'll tell you, I much rather like to say, oh, I got through that years ago. Listen, I'm in good shape now. And so it's a humbling experience when God says, you still have a lot of work that needs to be done. What Daniel did that I really feel challenged with, real quick tangent, you remember when we started Daniel, God said, make sure you give application for the people through Daniel because this is a good example to follow. As we've been studying through, and the teacher must first be the student, as we've been studying through Daniel, the Lord has just really revealed to me, you need to make yourself vulnerable. And I've got to be honest with you, where I normally would be able to muscle through, I have had experiences where I just have back retreated for months. I don't want to deal with it. I'm not ready for it. And it's not been easy. I'll just say that. But what I see and what we're going to see here with Daniel in this study and next week's study is that he was exhausted. The things that God was revealing to him, the area of prayer that he was going into, he was absolutely exhausted. He was tapped out. And I will say this. I don't know that everybody is up for this type of a challenge, that you would be willing to make yourself vulnerable in order to grow in the Lord, because it seems easier to not have to confront those things. But full growth in the Lord, full maturity cannot take place unless we allow the Lord to have full reign of our lives. And so I want to throw this out at you. I've humbled myself so you understand there are times where it just seems to be so overwhelming, and I don't think I could go with the Lord in this area. And yet the Lord says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to shepherd you. There's a man named Philip Keller, and he wrote a book on Psalm 23. And it was a shepherd's look at Psalm 23. And he talks about this little lamb that kept running away from the flock and kept doing disobedient things. And so what the shepherd ended up doing is breaking the little lamb's leg. But then what is so endearing about this, because we think that's painful, what is endearing is that he then set the bone, wrapped it up, and took that little lamb and put that little lamb on his shoulders. And the story goes is that what developed was this really intimate relationship of that little lamb with the shepherd. And the lamb began to learn and understand and hear how the shepherd was calling out and directing the flock and caring and loving tenderly the flock. And so what we have to understand is there's times where God's going to say, I'm going to break this area in you, but stick close to me. I'm not going to just leave you alone. I'm going to carry you through this. Hang tight with me, because in due time, there's going to be tenderness and care, and you're going to hear it from my voice and hear it from my heart. So I say that for myself, and hopefully for you too, that when we confront those areas where God says, I want this area, and we're going to do an overhaul on it, that we would be willing and trusting of God to do so. Daniel now comes to this fourth vision, and God's speaking to him. And the things that he is seeing, this is chapters 10 through 12, the things that Daniel is seeing are troublesome to him. And this is not the first time that this has happened. He is being given a glimpse, a vision. He's given prophecy of Israel's future. And it's a struggle for him. So let me read the first 9 verses and then we'll take a look at this. This is an approach that seeks. Daniel has an approach, and it is that he seeks the Lord. And I want you to just hear, if you can hear the verses, if you can hear Daniel's heart, if you can sense this reading between the lines, if you can, you can listen to what's going on in Daniel's life, the next group of verses as well that finish up the chapter, you're going to see more of it. But Daniel is a broken man. Daniel is a humbled man. And yet God is giving him great revelation. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 says this: "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was received to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face was like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like torches of fire. His arms and his feet burnished, like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground." In verses 1 and 2, we see that there's an initiation of a duration. There's a determination that's taking place. And Daniel says here in verse 1, he says, it was in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. The third year is so insignificant. In case I didn't say that correctly, it's so significant, the timing. I don't want you to miss this, because this is coming just as Jeremiah had prophesied. We know this from previous studies in Daniel, that he had been reading Jeremiah. He got to chapter 25 and he says, oh my gosh, it's 70 years of captivity. This is now coming to the end of that 70-year period. He knows it's about ready to take place. His heart is sensing things. He's looking at his people and the nation and what's about ready to take place. This captivity is about ready to be broken. The time that Daniel first received a vision is Daniel 7:1, if you're taking notes. It was about 553 BC to this last time. In Daniel chapter 1, it's 536 BC. It's about 18 years that have passed. And I want to share with you something that I think is important for us to understand. I think it's there are a lot of ministry principles I want to share as we go through, as well as applications and how we can take this into the ministry. I want you to understand this. We read through the book of Daniel in a relatively short period of time. And you might not see that. You might say, you know, it takes you 4 studies to get through 1 chapter or whatever. But in reality, we're going through this in a very quick period of time. Last week, we studied Daniel chapter 9, right? And so 2 years has now passed when we get into Daniel chapter 10, 2 to 3 years. And so we're jumping ahead. And what we see is a work of God, a move of God, a prophecy, a vision. And we see these things stacked right on top of each other. I want you to understand this, because in reality, there's a great span of time that takes place. This is over, the book of Daniel is over his lifetime. What I want you to understand is we live in a microwave society. We live in a fast food society. Last night, I took Monica out for her birthday, and Monica, her brother Mike, and Kelly, they went with us. Mike's birthday's coming up, I think, today, isn't it? That's coming up, 17th, 2 days from now. And so when we got there, we sat down for dinner, and it took forever for the food to, you know, I'm used to, like, you order and, like, it's up in, like, maybe 10 minutes tops, right? I mean, that's reasonable, like, okay. And it seemed like we waited about 45 minutes for the food to arrive. And so I was filled up on chips and salsa by the time the food came. And I still was able to manage to eat the chicken. Anyways. Anyways. I could get sidetracked, but let me stay on track here. But what God does is that he wants us to understand sometimes you need to just persist. Sometimes you got to wait. And it's not going to happen. Sometimes God will bring things about very, very quickly. But generally speaking, in all of Scripture, they're spaced out. So I want you to understand that sometimes you got to wait, and sometimes you got to keep pressing towards the Lord, pressing towards that goal, the upward call of God. Keep going. Don't relent. Just because you don't get something in 3 months, don't stop. You might have to wait years. And that's a tough pill to swallow, but I want you to know God does amazing things. He does miraculous things. He does incredible moves and prophecies like the 70 weeks of Daniel and then this last prophecy of Israel's future. But sometimes years will go by. Hang in there. Get your mind out of the microwave society and understand we're in God's time and his timing is perfect. Listen, it's easy in theory, isn't it? Because I want things right now. And my timing is different than God's timing. And yet, he works all these things out. And it causes me to say, will I trust the Lord or will I not trust the Lord? And so Daniel is one who he just plotted the course. And he just maintains it. And he keeps going. And that's a good word for us. We need to just continue. And so he goes on into verse 2. The message it says at the end of verse 1, it's true. And he's acknowledging this. He's speaking in third person in verse 1. Now he changes over in verse 2 to first person. He goes from third person to first person. So he said, Daniel. Now he's saying, I, Daniel. So he's going from a narrative to an experience. And that's what is lacking in the church today, is so much as we don't have the experiences that we need to have. We need to be experiencing God. We need to go through life situations. So he says in verse 2, he says, in those days, I, Daniel, I was mourning 3 full weeks. No longer a narrative, it's an experience. And that's the way that the rest of the book of Daniel will be. It will be his experience. And he says, in my experience, here's what's happened. I'm mourning. I'm bewailing. I'm lamenting. This is a word that is used to describe the gut-wrenching sadness of a person who has lost a loved one. I don't know what that's like. I can't speak to you from an experience. I cannot give you an illustration. I don't feel like I have an incredible anointing of God right now to say, here's what it's like when you lose somebody who you dearly love. And yet some of you do, and you can understand this word in a way that I can't. The Hebrew word is a participle. It conveys the idea of a continual mourning. He says, I'm not just getting out of this mourning. I'm not just, this loss is not something I'm escaping from. I'm going through it. Why did Daniel mourn? I believe it is because Daniel knew that the Israelites, when they're going to be given their freedom, he knew that the culture of the Hebrew people there in captivity, there in Babylon, he knew that they weren't going to leave. And it was proven to be true. When Cyrus would then allow the Israelites to return to go home, only about 45,000 of several hundred thousand of the Jews actually left. And they had the opportunity. They were, listen, church, another great thing to apply to your lives. They were content in captivity. So let me just pause real quick here and just draw this out. There have been times in my life, so I'll make myself vulnerable first, but there have been times in my life where I've been content in captivity. And it never profits me one single bit. So I want to just kind of flesh this out and at least allow the Holy Spirit to kind of work right now just for a moment before we move on. Is there something of a captivity that you're content in right now? Because God has been speaking to my heart and he is telling me, get out of that captivity. Get away from that captivity. Give up these areas. Move on from that. Listen, here's the problem. God intended to bless his people. But his blessing was not in captivity. His blessing was in freedom back home. And so if you and I remain in captivity, we're missing out on God's blessings. I don't know how to communicate that. I have never, in all the years of ministry, I've not found a way to communicate this from my heart to your heart. This is something that is a soul work of the Holy Spirit, where he has to just begin like turning you and saying, you can't be content where you're at. There has to be something or you're like, I'm content where I'm at. What do you say about being lukewarm? Right? Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Be hot or be cold. I mean, you might say, I'm content in captivity. I'm cold. You know, at least you're admitting it. Don't be lukewarm. Don't play the game. Just be honest with God. And he'll deal with that. That's not my job. You know, I'm the shepherd here, but he's your shepherd, right? It's a different role. And he speaks to hearts differently than I can. And so I want you to understand this. God intends blessings for you and for me. But he wants you to get out of the captivity, no longer being content. And it's breaking Daniel's heart. What he has seen there with this group of people is that they were more shopkeepers than they were sheep keepers. They were shepherds. God had said, this is how I want you ministering to the body of Christ. And they became more shopkeepers, right? Shop, business, than sheep keepers. There's nothing wrong with having a business. There's nothing wrong with going and working for a living. But we're not called to be shopkeepers. We're called to be sheep keepers. We're called to minister to the body of Christ. God will provide for us. We need to align ourselves with that. But that's not... Are you guys with me? May we seek freedom from the captivity rather than the contentment. So it breaks Daniel's heart. How long does it break his heart for? He says 3 full weeks. Literally in the Hebrew, it reads 3 sevens of days, 21 days. Listen, some people will genuinely say, I want to experience prophecy. Some people, whenever you talk about certain things, this is the way that it goes. You preach, and some people are like, all right, big deal, you know, let's get to the next thing. Oh, yeah, that's good, you know. And then other people are like, man, oh, you're speaking to my heart. Like, this is just the way that it goes. So some people would be like, I could care less about prophecy. I want this. Some people who really want prophecy, they need to understand and consider something, and that is that there's an intensity that comes with prophecy. Anything that you do with the Lord, there's going to be some intensity. Here, the illustration, the backdrop to what we're talking about is Daniel going through, and he's receiving this prophecy, and it was enough for him to mourn for 21 days. What was so bad that would make him respond that way? One, I think it's the people. I think he's also being shown some things yet in the future. So now we see the implementation of this diet. It's a diet of sorrow in verses 3 and 4. And he says, I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the river, the great river, that is the Tigris. We'll get at this in just a minute. But verse 3, he's talking about this diet of sorrow. There's diet, there's desires. And he says, I had no pleasant food. Literally, it means a bread that is desirable. He was going through something that made him sick to his stomach. And it made him upset. And he just said, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to fast. I'm going to have a certain fast where I'm not going to eat the pleasurable foods. I'm not going to be pulled into pleasure when it's not something of pleasure that I'm going through right now. Listen, church, an overhaul is not necessarily a pleasurable place to be when God's taking you apart and he's pulling parts out and he's putting new parts in and it's painful and he's taking away areas of the flesh. And so there's a time where you say, I can't eat anything that is desirable. I can't have the delicacies of this world. I need to seek the Lord. I need his word. I need the bread that comes down from heaven. I need to enjoy myself in the fullness of Christ. He went on, he says, nor did I anoint myself at all. He didn't anoint himself with an oil. In the ancient days, they didn't have the luxury of a shower or a bath. They couldn't just jump into a bath, turn the water on, jump in, and get clean. And so what they would do is they would take oils, and it would be like almost like really strong perfumes, and they would put that on themselves so that they would smell good. What it is that Daniel's doing here is he's saying, I don't want there to be any camouflage here. My external needs to be reflective of what's happening internally. You know, some of us are masters at putting that facade on. Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you. Hosanna. Hallelujah. And we have all our Christian terms, and we've got all our Christian faces, and in reality, there's something else going on. And God would say, sometimes you just got to tell it like it is. And you let the external show exactly what it is. It's vulnerable. It's vulnerability. We see the when and the where in verse 4. He says, now on the 24th day of the first month, and he says, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, the when. He says, the 24th day of the first month. I just, real quickly, I want to flesh this out for you guys so you can understand, so you have this to hang up. The first month of the year to a Jew, to us as Christians, is very, very important. We take this back to Exodus chapter 12 when God says, listen, I'm changing your whole calendar around. No longer will this be the first month, but this month, Abib, Nisan, this is now going to be the first of the year for you. And the reason why is because it begins with what happens then. Right then, in the beginning of the year, is the Passover and the unleavened bread. And God is telling us, he's speaking to us, and we have this from hindsight. We can look back into Exodus 12 and understand that the Passover lamb of Exodus 12, that's the beginning. It's the Passover lamb when he went to the cross for us and he died for us. And the next feast, we understand this, it's the 14th day, right at dusk, the Passover lamb dies, is put to death. And that happened to Christ. And immediately following, like no delay, no pause, no separation, as soon as that feast of Passover and the sacrifice has taken place in the Passover lamb, immediately the unleavened bread. Now we know leaven is a type of sin. And so this represents the removal of sin in our lives. So God says, and I don't want you to miss this is significant. God is hanging this up, and he says it's the 24th day of the first month. I don't want you to forget that I delivered you out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. He's delivered us out of Egypt, out of the world. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's delivered you out of Egypt. And it's a regular reminder for you. And this prophecy is tied to the Lord's sacrifice and his removal of sin. In other words, in the faithfulness that I had, that I showed towards you, in the care and the love and the concern that I had for you, not just in going to the cross and paying for your sins, but then immediately removing. For those who identify with the Passover lamb, that is my Passover lamb. The Bible says sins immediately removed. And he says, in the same vein, in the same thought, in the same stream, he says, I'm communicating to you this vision of Israel's future. I'm that Passover lamb. I'm the one who loved you. I'm the one who paid the price for you. I'm the one who became sin so that you might become the righteousness of God. And I have a future for you. And we couple that with Jeremiah where he says, I've got a future. Listen, I know the thoughts of God are not evil or bad towards you, but they're good. He has a future and a hope for you. Don't miss that when we're going through this. There's these things that need to be considered and understood as Daniel, he's weak. His vigor is like frailty now. We're going to get to it. We'll see if we get to this study. But he says, and I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris. I'm going to quickly go through this. But if you remember other places here in Daniel, we've talked about this, that God will oftentimes, around bodies of water, God reveals things like deep things, prophecies, revelations, visions to men of God. They sit around a body of water. They hear the tranquility. They hear the water moving, and their eyes are then brought up to heaven, and they think, God, only you could create this. Listen how beautiful this is. Oh, my calmness. I'm now focusing on you. And he begins speaking to them. And so Daniel's by this great river Tigris, and God's saying, I've got something for you, Daniel. It's pretty deep. Verses 5 and 6, it includes a description of the messenger. Who's the messenger? Who is this? Who's the messenger? Listen, it says now, verse 5, and I lifted my eyes, and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and his feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the multitude, the voice of a multitude. I got to go quickly through this, but I don't want you to miss some of these things. Daniel sees the visitor in verse 5. He lifts his eyes. His eyes were definitely down. This is the posture of prayer for Daniel. His eyes are down. He's exhausted. He's tapped out. He's looking down. And all of a sudden his eyes are lifted and he looks and he sees this man. When we come to the words like behold in the scripture, some of you guys might have that in your Bible. It's God saying, I want your attention. He wanted Daniel's attention and he wants ours now. And this certain man was clothed in linen. Literally, it means one man clothed in linen. If you want to cross-reference, look at Ezekiel chapter 9. He says his waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. Verse 6, Daniel goes on to describe the visitor. Is it the creator? Is it an angelic being? He says his body was like beryl. This is something, this is good. I don't have time to dig this out. But on the high priest wore an ephod. It was something on the ephod that would go over his shoulders. It was something that would be on the breastplate. And on the breastplate were several different stones. One of those stones was beryl. And it represents different things. When we go through Exodus 28 sometime in the far future, we'll go and we'll study this. But it talks about things that are on his heart. Each one of these different stones, I'll just tell you, each one of these stones, it represents the tribes. It represents God's people. And he says, you know who's on my heart? You are. There's more. There's a lot more when we go through the robe and the different ways that the high priest, who is points to Jesus Christ, how it's formed. But this beryl, it was like a flashing stone. One of the commentators of this day and age, Pliny, he described it as a transparent stone with a refulgence like that of gold. It was a gold, shimmering, transparent sort of look. It was just brilliant. I used to do this all the time. When I would go to different places like the beach, I'd pick up shells. Or if I go to like rivers, I'd pick up the rocks and stuff. And so when I was on my last fly fishing trip, I was inside Yellowstone National Park and I was on the Soda Butte Creek. And I was walking and there was one stone that stood out. One stone. Everything was all kind of grayish and a little bit brownish. And there was one that was like a blue and it had this stripe through the middle. And I thought, it caught my eye. And I picked it up and I thought, it wasn't a big one. I was very thankful for it. And I put it in my pocket and I left and I brought it home. And I said, you know, I was thinking about you, Monica. I used to do this like real romantically. I didn't, you know, kind of lost my touch. Guys, you could pray for me about that. So I probably should have presented it a little bit, but I tried. I sincerely tried. I think I might have done a poem or something before, but I just said, listen, I was thinking about you and it's beautiful. And isn't this interesting? It's got like this thing going through the middle, you know, and I haven't thought about it. I just sort of rub your finger there, and anyways. Sometimes stones are just beautiful, and they're precious, and God is saying, and I'm coming to you in this preciousness. This is just who I am. I'm beautiful, and Daniel's seeing this one whose face is beautiful, gold and transparent, flashing. He says his eyes, his face is like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like the fire of torches. His arms and his feet like burnished bronze in color. And the sound of his word like the voice of multitude. Listen, I would you write down these passages for me? Because I want you to understand this. This is speaking of Christ, Jesus Christ. This is a pre-incarnate Christ. This is before he came on the scene, took on the form of a bondservant, and then lived a perfect life and died first. Before all of that, here's Jesus coming in on the scene. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. When you read that passage and Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, I want you to understand this. It's undeniably Jesus Christ. As those passages in Ezekiel and Revelation, they point to Jesus Christ. And you'll see, like, it's the same words. And so Daniel is coming and he's praying and he's troubled and he's tired and he's exhausted, and this one who's coming to him is Christ. Verses 7 and 8, we see there's an increase in the desertion of people. Verse 7 says, and I, Daniel, alone, I saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. There's a huge, huge ministry principle here. And I want you, would you please commit at least to listening to the fullness of this before you check it off and say, that's not for me. Would you just please do this? Here's what Daniel says. He says, I'm there, and I'm all alone. the vision has been given to me. And truly, this is not a vision for anybody else. It's tailored. It's given directly to Daniel. However, other people kind of experience something here. We have glamorized the ministry, and we think it's like a spiritual Disneyland, like, oh, you get into ministry. And if you work full time, if you're lucky enough to work full time, you just have worship music playing in the background, and you just, you know, and you just take in and you read and you go from office to office. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. And you, I got a verse, and listen, the ministry isn't anything but that. Now, you can have periods of that, and they're refreshing for our souls. But in reality, ministry is lonesome. Ministry, ask anybody who's been in ministry for any length of time, ministry is lonesome. The Hebrew here is very emphatic. Daniel writes in the Hebrew, this is the way it would be translated literally. He says, I, Daniel, alone. It's just me. I'm just here, and I'm doing ministry. What happened to these other men? Stay with me, because I want you to understand this. The ministry is absolutely a lonely place, but stay with me, okay? First, they see this vision, and then it impacts them significantly, and they go on and hide. He says, for the men who were with me, they did not see the vision. Something was going on, something significant, and they were there. They didn't see the vision, but they knew something was going on. It was so intense, right? So intense. Daniel's, he's doubled over. He's exhausted. We're going to read about his vigor in just a minute. But these guys are around, and they're saying, oh my goodness, I got to get out of here for my own safety. One of the commentators wrote something special on this verse. He says, only the man whose perceptions are sharpened by concern and contrition, or admission of sin, humbling themselves, can they receive a fresh revelation from God. We have got to be those people whose perceptions are sharpened, but it comes by being concerned for God and his people and being contrite. God, please forgive me. Do that overhaul. It's painful, God. Please have your way with me. The second thing they do is that they react. It says, but a great terror fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. They were greatly afraid and they ran. They were saying, sorry, Daniel, you're on your own on this one, buddy. And they leave him. Listen, if you go into ministry, if anybody's thinking about going into ministry at any point in time, at any level, but certainly if you're getting more involved with ministry, I want you to understand this. Your closest people will bail on you. The people you absolutely love will not stick around. David said this in the Psalms. He says, even my father and mother forsake me. I want you to know, I wish I could go into this, but you know, there are some who stick around. There are some who stick around. If you look at Joshua, he was a mountain. He went on that mountaintop experience, mountain maintenance. He stuck around and God continued to reveal. God says, I'm going to reward you for sticking around. Listen, some people won't desert you, but some will. And you and I need to be okay with it. This is that vulnerable area for me. I'm just telling you guys, I hate to see people leave. I hate to know that. It makes me feel horrible. And that's not a guilt trip. Please don't take it that way. Because the flip side of this is when you are left alone, you know who is left? You and
Jesus.
That's right. And I'm telling you, listen, this is where I told you, don't check out yet. The benefit here is that you have intimacy with the Lord. The benefit is that you grow with the Lord, because he will remove people that you have a tendency to hold on to, that you white knuckle the relationship. And he'll say, listen, Robert, you need to let go of those people. When we go to Exodus chapter 29, the priests, which is us, they would have to go to the Lord open-handed, read it. I mean, it's pretty fascinating. They would go open-handed and he would take and put things in. Didn't we sing this morning? Interesting. Worship selection today. He gives and takes away, right? We sang that, right? And I thought, isn't that perfect? God will give and he'll take away. And it's at his discretion. And we need to be okay with it. And we need to trust him through that. And the more that you do, the more you'll draw close to the Lord and the better things will be. So Daniel, in verse 8, he experienced all of this and it just taps him of all of his strength. And he says in verse 8, "Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor, it was turned to frailty in me." And he says, "I retain no strength." What an important ministry principle that we have here. It's important to understand this in our walks with the Lord. He says, "I'm tapped of all of my vigor and all of my strength, and it's now become frailty." Listen, I want you to understand, vigor is all that would be honorable or splendorous. So anything that you would think externally, like you could say, "Look at this, isn't this great about," like, and feel good about, like, "This is great about my life. This is a great aspect of my walk with the Lord." And God says, "I'm taking that away. I'm taking your vigor away. And it's going to become frailty." Frailty, the word would be best translated ruin or destruction. And that's the way that it is in ministry. But you have to understand that's part of the overhaul process. And it is painful, but he takes those areas that need to be, that you would say, "This is a good thing." And God says, "Listen, you got a little too much dependence on that. I'm going to take that away, and I'm going to redefine this for you, and I'm going to make it better, but you got to hang in there with me." And so Daniel, it's taken its toll on him. We saw it in the first vision that he had. It said his face grew pale and he kept the matter to himself. It says it was greatly alarming. The second vision, he's exhausted, sick for days. It says he says, "But I got up and I did the king's business." And now we see this fourth vision coming in and he's saying, "This is exhausting for me. Listen, we're almost done, but stay with me. Listen, I want you to understand this. I want you to ask a couple questions before we get to verse 9. How do you respond when you're exhausted in ministry? How do you respond when you're exhausted? Could it be that God is getting you ready for something significantly spiritual, something spiritually significant? Are you with me? Listen, so much we come in here and I say, "Listen, we need a little bit of a change in the way that our frame of mind is." We think, "Listen, this is horrible. I'm exhausted." And God would say, wait a second. You misunderstood my point here. I am preparing you for something. And what happens is when you focus on the downside of things rather than the upside, the Lord in that, you sometimes miss that boat. What is it that you are going through that is so exhausting right now? And can you trust the Lord in it? Because he's going to get you through and he's going to give you something dynamic, something spiritually significant, something of a vision, something of prophetic. Could it be that the church, the body of Christ today in our society, is not familiar with the revelation of God in our lives and the lives of those around us, that we don't know how to expect these things? Because I don't like vulnerability. I don't like pain. Are you guys with me? Everything in me says, run. Get away. Save yourself. And I'm missing it. I've missed it this year. By running. I've missed it. The last verse we'll look at this morning is verse 9. This is an identification. There's a depth of pursuit that comes here. And we see in verse 9, it says, "Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground." This is crazy. Like, if you're reading along with me, like, he heard the words, but he's in a deep sleep. Like, he has passed out, and yet he's hearing the words. So I believe this is Jesus Christ, and I believe that he has said, "Even in your exhaustion, even in your dreaming, even in your deep sleep, I'm still going to communicate to you." I want some dreams. Let's be honest with you right now, today, this morning, I want some dreams from the Lord. I want that area to reignite in my life. I haven't had them for a while. Something new has to happen. This is new ground for Daniel. Why can't it be new ground for me again? Let's refresh that area. I will end with this. Think about how God goes in to visit the men of God throughout Scripture. Isaiah 6:5, Ezekiel 1:28, Job 42:6, Joshua 5:13-14, Paul, Acts 9:3-5, Peter, James, and John, the Mount Transfiguration, Matthew 17, 1 through 7. John, the book of Revelation, 4, 5, 7, 19, 22. Listen, God wants to reveal himself. God wants to show himself. It might be exhausting, the journey and the pursuit, but it is totally worth it. What we're going to see in the next group of verses is that there's going to be an angel that's going to come and is going to begin speaking to Daniel and saying, I want you to understand. Hey, listen, you're going through this, but it's not without reason and purpose. I'm now going to explain Israel's future, and more is going to be understood. I want you to understand that ahead of time, because when you're exhausted, it's tough to continue on. You want to quit. I know that I do. And God would say, press on, Robert. Just you know what? If you can only take that much of a step forward, at least take that step. That's all you have to do. Even if you don't think this is a really deep step in the Lord, then you just take that little baby step and you just keep moving. Just keep moving forward, because God will, it's revelation. You're going to get there. You're going to get there. Just wait. Hold on. Hang in there. And then he's going to reveal things to you. And it will be vision. It will be prophetic. It'll be encouragement. These are all things that are going to come. It's understanding that's going to come. Daniel's going to get all of these in the rest of the chapter, but he has to go through some tough times like you and I do. So hang in there. Let's pray.